Well, hey, it's good to be with you. We actually decided we're going to continue on with our Jesus Is series. We figured Jesus is worth talking about for a few extra weeks. That's a joke. We talk about him all the time around here. We never get tired of talking about him and celebrating him and lifting him up. But we're going to extend this just a few weeks here in the Jesus Is series as we have been really looking at the character of Jesus, who he is. Before we do that, though, I want to get your juices flowing here a little bit, your brain juices. And you've heard the phrase, right, a picture is worth a thousand words. So we're going to play just a little game here, not really a game, but we're going to do a little exercise here as we get going. And I want you just to whatever your initial reaction is to the picture that I show you, okay? So just in a word, like what is the just the reaction, okay? And it's not necessarily what you're seeing on the screen. This is not catchphrase, okay? It's just what is your reaction to the image, okay? Because a picture is worth a thousand words. So you get one word to express yourself, and just, you know, you can just kind of say it out loud as we go. So here's the first one. There you go. Okay, good. You guys can participate. It's okay. Good. All right. Scary. Somebody has a pet like that, and I don't get those people. You know what I mean? The word that came to mind for me, actually, first hour, there was just a... there was like a reaction. It wasn't so much a word as just an impulse that was like, but that's like the thing of nightmares, you know? How many of you can actually feel it crawling on you? You're like, oh, like I can, like when I saw the picture, I'm like, I can actually, like I'm checking to make sure, like, you know, okay, I'm good. You know, all right, good deal. All right, what about this? Yeah, right? Like that cleanses our mental palate right there. It's like, get that spider out of my head. Like, just came out of the dryer, right? I mean, he is bounty fresh, you know? I don't even think that's real. It's like a pup, like, but don't you just want to, like, snuggle up to it? It's like, you know, and that was the general reaction, was just a collective, oh, you know, that's good. So what about this one? What about this picture? Allergies. Yeah, that's a good one. There wasn't like a, you know, now, if you didn't know what this was, because the reaction is it looks really pretty, but it stinks, doesn't it? That is a stinky tree. And so for about, you know, a week time, we get these beautiful flowers, but we also get this awful odor, these Bradford pear trees, and they're like this invasive species. And so, yeah, they look really pretty, but that's why there's a mixed reaction on that one. What about this one? Oh, yeah, there's one guy clapping. He wasn't in here first hour, but I have to ask the question because I have a feeling about it. Do we dislike Kansas City now more or the Steelers still? Like, is it still say Steelers? I actually feel like I've switched. I feel like I dislike them both. And I'll give it to you, Jamie, they're tough. You know, they're just easy to hate, like, because they're good, and I have to watch them on every commercial, too, and I just get tired of seeing Mahomes everywhere, and I'm just over it. So that's my feeling, and let's go ahead and get that guy off the screen and bring it back to that other image. But a picture's worth a thousand words. They can create emotions, right? They can inspire us, gross us out, give us the chills, you know, or you send that little, you know, feeling down our spine. So I want to do something kind of in reverse here. Now, I'm gonna give you a word, and I want you to just allow a mental image to come to mind. All right, so don't say anything. I just want you to allow whatever image comes to mind to come to mind. Okay, so here's the first word. Just think about it. Now, all of us probably have, potentially, different feelings or emotions. Now, I have a couple images that come to mind. One of the images that comes to mind is when I was in college at the University of Kentucky, and there was this guy, there'd be this guy that hung out on campus. He'd wear this shirt that said, "Real men don't sin," and he'd have a bullhorn in his hands, and he would just mow people down with, like, all kinds of words, like, that were not Jesus-like words. Let's just put it that way. And he would just, like, let them have it. I'm like, how do you even know those people, you know? Like, I mean, and he is just one after another. You're a bunch of sinners. You're about this, that, and the other. You're a child of the devil. I mean, on and on this guy would go with all of these words. So that's one image I have. And that's not my favorite image of the word Christian, but I have other images too. And to be honest with you, I have really good images. Some of the best moments I've had, some of the best people that I know bear that title and have just, the kind of people that just breathe life into you, the kind of people that have just this immense wisdom and inner strength and all these folks that I just want to be like and emulate. And so I have mixed reactions on that one. What about this word? Just think about it. Now, again, there can be kind of mixed emotions. Maybe for some of you, you have baggage when it comes to that word, when you think about maybe an experience you had in your childhood, or maybe even with, you know, a group of people within a church, and there was a bad situation, and maybe you got burnt a little bit, or maybe this is kind of your thought process, or maybe you have really just good memories of Christmas plays and different things like that. And so, but I think it's one that kind of comes with mixed feelings, mixed reactions. Some of you maybe just thought of like a physical place. You're like, okay, I'm just picturing like an old church building. Maybe it's like one with stained glass. I don't know how many of you thought of a warehouse. You know, you're like, I thought of church, I thought of warehouse, you know. But maybe for some of you, that's been your experience because you've been here and we're bringing the warehouse back, you know, exchanging for the stained glass windows. But when you think of this word, you think about the New Testament word, the word that was used in Scripture, it was this word ekklesia, which meant the called out ones. It was really kind of the gathering. It was more the people than it was the place. And back in the early church, I don't believe that they were meeting in warehouses like this. I don't believe they had a lot of stained glass windows. They met in the temple courts and from house to house, but it was really this identifiable group of people that followed Jesus, and it was this gathering of Christians. All right, last word, and this is the word we've been talking about. What comes to mind, and maybe you had some moments in worship there as we sat earlier that you thought about Jesus, and here is what I think about him. Here is what emotions come to mind, thoughts. Here are my feelings about who Jesus is. And we might all be at different places when it comes to who Jesus is as well, but that's who we've been looking at, is we've just kind of been looking at the character of Jesus. And one of the words I'm going to talk to you, one of the ways I want to answer that today when we say Jesus is, I'm going to fill in the blank with the head of the church. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. He is the supreme head of the church. It's not about any other specific individual or leader. Jesus is the head of the church. And today, we're going to be looking at Jesus' first mention of his establishment of the church, even prior to the establishment of the church. And it was forecasting when he would establish his church. And what I want to do today for us is really look at what should those words bring to mind when we think about Christian, when we think about church. And what I would tell you today is that I believe that those words, Christian and church, should bring to mind the same things that we think about when we think about who Jesus was in the purest way. And so we should look to see the gap between Christian and church and who Jesus was continue to do this. And so in Matthew 16 is what we're going to be looking at today. Matthew 16, 13 through 14 is where we're going to start. And this was a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples at one day as they're walking along the road. And it says this. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And so here's Jesus' first question. They're walking along, and you know, he's just like, I don't think he's asking it because he doesn't know the answer. I think he's asking it to dialogue, and anytime there's dialogue, there's a lesson to be learned, and he's teaching them, and he's revealing something about himself both to them and to us as secondary readers of the text. And so he asks the question, who do people say that I am? Like, he's like, basically like, all right, boys, like, what's the word on the street? What's everybody saying? You know, I want to hear what you guys are hearing, what you're picking up as you're walking around. He's probably even prompting them a little bit for the next question he's going to ask. And they've probably got some ideas about who they think he is at this point as they've been spending time with him, as they've been listening to him. And so they replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so there is this consistent buzz that is really kind of happening around Jesus as people are speculating who he was, and for good reason, because he was touching the untouchable. He was forgiving the unforgivable. He was doing the impossible. The way that he taught was truly remarkable. Nobody taught like this. And so as he is teaching and as he is healing and as he is doing these miraculous things that they've never seen before, they naturally are asking the question, well, who is this guy? And so they're speculating that maybe he's one of like the prophets, like reincarnated, or, you know, they have all of these different ideas about who he might be. But the bottom line is he was a curious, curious individual, and nobody could not give account for who he is. They just were forced to give an answer for like, all right, what's up with this guy? What's the word on the street here? And so that is what they were hearing. And so who is this Jesus? And that same question, by the way, is still being asked 2,000 years later. You still have to have that question answered at some level. You have to confront that question. 2,000 years later, we're still having that conversation. And by the way, every major religion has to give an account for him. There's all kinds of just different thoughts about who Jesus was. In Islam, they believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he was taken up into heaven, that he was a great prophet, right? And so in all of these religions, we're seeing that they have to account for Jesus. You can't just ignore him. We're seeing Jesus really in the arts. I mean, imagine the arts and all the representations of Jesus. Nobody has had that kind of influence throughout the course of every era in history. And that's not stopping. Quite simply, Jesus cannot be ignored. As C.S. Lewis once said, he's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. There's really no in between, because either he's just absolutely full of it, just made up everything that he had to say, he's crazy, like he thinks he is all these things, or he is actually the Lord. And so he asks then Jesus the next question to his disciples. He says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, he's the first to answer. He was often the first to answer, right? He was often the first to blurt out, you know, there's one in every class, isn't there? There's like one in every group. Like, they're just like, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to do it. And Peter, he's just like enthusiastically like, I know. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You got to love Peter. You know, you got to love his enthusiasm, his boldness. And, all the guys had answers to the first question, but only one guy is speaking up on that second question. He's like, I'm going to give this one a shot. And he does. He confidently declares that you're the Messiah. The Greek word here is the Christos, the anointed one. The redeemer of all things, the rescuer, the one who came to save, the savior of the world. Or as Jesus likes to describe himself, the light of the world, the hope of the world. I don't know if you guys heard of it. I'm sure you probably haven't, but there's kind of like a big event happening tomorrow. I mean, I know, like, I'm sure you haven't gone out and bought like those little weird looking glasses or anything that look like 3D glasses. Don't try 3D glasses, by the way. I don't think that'll be good for your eyes, but or maybe I'm sure you haven't built those little like weird whatever out of a cereal box, you know, where you stare through it, and like I'm sure you haven't done any of that and you're not prepped at all. But obviously this weekend is the solar eclipse, and I don't know how many of you guys have set up just an opportunity to like watch that, where you can go. I found out that my house is like in the totality region. Like I'm like, it's gonna be dark like there. Like I'm not gonna be able to see my hand out in front of my face, right? Like this is my expectation. Like, you know, there's gonna be no light whatsoever. It's gonna be complete, absolute dark. I might be setting the bar a little high, right? Like I I better be careful with that. But if you've ever been, the solar eclipse is awesome. It's cool. I'm not trying to downplay it, you know. But there is, they say we're going to be in totality, but like, let's not oversell it. Like, it's not going to be complete darkness, right? I'm not going to need to get out a flashlight or anything like that. Maybe I'll be surprised. I don't know. I'm bumming you guys out or something, I guess, you know? No, I think it's going to be awesome, and hopefully get an opportunity to watch it. But let me just say this. When we think about kind of your own life, think about where you're at, think about maybe some things that you were praying about earlier. Here's some hope I want to give you. You know, there really is no such thing as totality. I mean, complete darkness because of Jesus. No matter how dark your situation might seem, no matter how grim, how long it's been going on, whatever it might be, there is always hope because of Jesus. Jesus is, he calls himself the light of the world. In John 1:1-5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness," and I love this, "and the darkness has not overcome it." That's John's way of saying there is no totality. There is no way for the darkness to overcome the light of Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Who do you say that he is? Who is he to you? And by the way, it's one thing to say it. It's an entirely different thing to embody it, to live it out, to express it. Jesus tells his people that they are the primary way in which Jesus brings his light to the world. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, then, let your light shine before others that they may be able to see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And what's he saying? He's saying we have to make sure that there is no totality by continuing to shine light into people's lives. Remember that little song, "This Little Light of Mine"? I'm going to let it. You guys are really tired today. You let it shine, you know? Like, let it shine. Sorry. So this is our role as the church, right? This is what we've been called to do, to demonstrate and really to carry forth the light of Jesus into the people that we interact with, the communities that we live in, the schools that we attend, the teams on which we play, you name it, into our families. This is our job. We're the light of the world. Nobody takes a light and puts it under a bowl. Instead, they put it up on a stand. And so this is our job, to shine light, to represent Jesus in that way, by helping people to see the hope of the world, by helping people to see him in his light in everywhere that we go. Philippians 2:14-16 says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run or labor in vain." And so Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's Jesus' response in Matthew 16:17-20. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." This is like the ultimate attaboy. I mean, this is like, you want to get a pat on the back, get it from Jesus saying, like, "Blessed are you, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood." In other words, you are dead right. You nailed it. "And this was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you keys, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah, because he knew that as the word of that gets out, it's going to continue to progress forward, and things are going to get interesting as they do. And so Jesus praises him in this moment to say, that is absolutely right. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church." Now, okay, what do we do with that? Well, there's different views on that. You know, there is is a view that basically Peter, which his name means rock, was the rock on which Jesus would build his church. And that's why, you know, Peter was sort of identified as the first pope and so on and so forth. There's also a view that when he says on this rock, what he means is that he's talking about this declaration that Peter made, which is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that I'm going to build my church on that declaration, on the gospel, on the reality that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in some ways, maybe it's a little bit of both, as Peter, you know, was part of establishing the church, but primarily I believe that it is him declaring that it's on this confession, on these words, on this truth, I will build my church, and then the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And by the way, when Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail, there's two different ways to think about that, isn't there? There's a way to think about it, or we're thinking about kind of the gates of hell sort of pressing in on the church, and the church is just like holding it back, trying not to allow the gates of hell to break in and break through. And in that way, we sort of see the church as this bunker, right? Like, we're hiding out in the bunker. We're just going to, like, let hell sort of remain out there, the gates of hell, and we're going to do everything we can to fortify and to kind of to keep out the influence of the world and of... But I think I actually see it as opposite of that. I actually see it as the gates of hell will not hold as the church in hope and as the light of the world presses on and presses forward and confronts the darkness with the light and brings hope into the dark corners of the world. As the truth of the gospel continues to pour out and the fullness of Jesus spreads, as they carry that truth that Jesus is the Christ, that the very gates of hell will not be able to hold back the church as it presses on, and that the church would be this force for good that hell itself can't stop. And this is what he's telling them, is that this is the message that I am the Christ is going to change the course of human history. And I'm about to hand this mission over to you, and when I do, the gates of hell will not be able to stop you. Thus, the church is not a bunker to hide out in. It's the force of heaven flooding earth. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I got the opportunity to go on a little trip to Mexico back in February, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. I'd never been to Mexico before, so it was cool to get to do that, to hang out on the beach, and it was an all-inclusive resort. Never got to do that before either, so that was cool. And we had, like, our own little, like, beach area, which was cool, too. Like, you're just, like, you know, have this spot where you can kind of hang out on the beach. And so we were hanging out on the beach, and every day we hang out on the beach, it was interesting because I thought it was a private beach, but there was these dudes that were there every day selling stuff. And there was one guy that was just selling, like, little trinkets and bracelets and things like that, and they'd come by every day. And then there was this one guy, there's two of them, actually, and they would just be like, hey, amigo, you want a vape? I'm like, no, I don't want a vape, you know, thanks. And, you know, but he's so persistent, like, yo, come on, amigo, you want a vape? I'm like, no, don't want a vape. And so, I mean, we had this interaction, like, every day. Like, I was like, you asked me yesterday, like, still not vaping today, okay? Like, I just want to sit in chair. That's all I want to do. Like, just leave me alone. And I was kind of annoyed. And then I felt like, I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or what, or if it's just a little bit of my, it felt like he's trying to sell me vape, you know? And I was like, I felt like the Lord was like, what? He's selling you vape. Why don't you go sell him me? Like, well, go tell him a little bit about me. I'm like, I'm on vacation. But I'm like, it was like, I was sitting in my chair that whole day, and I'm like, I kept, like, envisioning myself going over and talking to these guys. I really don't want to. I've been trying to avoid them the whole time. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, fine. I get up. I walk down the beach, and I'm like, I'm going to have an interaction. I don't even know what I'm going to say yet. This is not normally what I do, is just, like, strike up conversations and drop a track in somebody's hands, you know? And I don't have a track, so I'm just like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm more relational, like, get to know you, you know? And I walked over to where these guys were all hanging out, and it was like, it was shady at times. They had these little areas they hung out. Sometimes they had these little private, you know, it's like times with people where they walk them off. They're like, I don't know what they're buying, you know? And, but they were like kind of hanging out up on the way in. And I was like, I was supposed to talk to them because that's what the Lord and I had talked about, but I just walked right on past them. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. But I sat down because I had to get like my shoes on and stuff, and like they saw me like sitting, putting my shoes on, and now they're engaging me. And I'm like, great, like I was trying to get away. And he goes, hey, amigo, you want a vape? I'm like, oh, no, I don't want a vape. He said, you want a cigar? I'm like, no, I don't want a cigar. And then he goes, you want cocaine? And I'm like, he's just yelling that out. Like, I'm like, no, I don't want. So this, I was like, okay, there's my in. Like, he's engaging me, so not the cocaine. But I walk up to him. I'm like, hey, I just laughed at him. I said, hey, dude, like, are you trying to get me fired? I'm a pastor. And I'm like, there was two guys that were like, spoke mostly Spanish. And there was the one, like, except for the word vape, apparently. There was this other guy, and he was, he spoke good English. It was the guy selling trinkets. And trinket guy spoke pretty good English. And so I'm like, hey, I was looking at him, like, how do you say pastor? And he goes, or I say, how do you say pastor? And he goes, pastor? Like, just like that. It was just the same word. I was like, oh, okay, I'm pastor. And so they were like, and I'm like, so are you trying to get me fired? Like, was like my joke. But jokes are lost in translation, you know? Like, I'm like, are you trying to get me fired? And they're just like, so you want cocaine or not? Like, I don't, like, what are we doing here? And so anyway, I was like, well, no. And I was like, the one guy's like, oh, are you a Christian? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I was like, he's like, oh, I'm a Christian. I, you know, this, that, and the other. And so thankfully he's just selling the trinkets. But he's, he's telling me about that. And I said, what about, and then now we're having a conversation about these two guys that are here, while they're standing right here. And like, I'm talking to him. I said, what about these guys? I was like, are they Christian? And he said, he said, how do you say? He's like, they believe him, but they do not follow him in their heart. That's what they said. And I was like, oh, interesting. I was like, well, I'll tell you what. I was like, what are your names? And they gave me their names. And one guy's like, I'm Ricardo. I'm Gustavo. And I'm like, I'm going to pray for you, Ricardo and Gustavo. And then I told the other guys, like, all right, you stay on them. And so we had that interaction. But I tell you that story because, you know, I that's not the typical day for me, is just grabbing people up and you know, catching them on the spot. But man, we have these opportunities in ways big and small all the time to plant seeds of hope. What if you just saw yourself as somebody just sowing some seeds of hope, just here and there? Like, I didn't have an opportunity where I would love that story. Like, I converted the guys that were trying to sell me coke. I sold them Jesus. Like, bam, boom, you know, like it was a done deal. I wish I could have that story. And maybe that seed will germinate in a way. I just leave that up to God and leave that up to my other friend, like to continue to just stay present in their lives. But man, you have opportunities every day to plant seeds of hope in somebody's life. Through your words, through your actions, through your demonstration of who Jesus is. And there is power in that. One final story as we conclude here, and this was a story in the book of Acts, but it says that in this one moment in the book of Acts, that God was doing such extraordinary miracles through Paul that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul were taken to the sick, and they were healed, and evil had left them, you know? Like, this, I mean, this, they're handkerchiefs, you know? I mean, can you imagine somebody brings you a handkerchief, like a boogery handkerchief? You're like, hey, touch this, like, trust me. Just trust me. It's good. It's powerful. And people were healed and evil left them. Now, there's these other guys, though, that, like, they were watching the handkerchief thing happen. They're like, we should try that. Like, that looks really cool. And so they got some handkerchiefs of their own, I guess. And they tried to go cast out these demons in this guy without the power of Jesus. And what we read is that they were overtaken by the man with the evil spirits and so badly beaten up that they ran from the house naked and bleeding. This is a real story in the scripture. Like, I don't remember this one in Sunday school when I was a kid. Like, this is a real story. And the point is that powerful things happen when we show up with Jesus. Powerful things happen when we show up with Jesus. When Jesus shows up, evil runs and hides. When we show up with Jesus, we breathe life into people. We overcome evil. We push back darkness. We join God in turning lives upside down. We see hope rippling into hearts and homes and neighborhoods and societies and into our generation. And what we do when we show up with Jesus is as we put Jesus on display in our own lives, we give people a truer picture of what Jesus looks like. As we are the church, represents We are Christians that represent him. And we allow these terms like Christian and church to merge with who they're supposed to represent, and that is the person of Jesus. And as a church, that is our hope, that we can paint an accurate picture of what Jesus looks like and how great his love truly is. Let's pray together. God, thank you for today and the opportunity to get to gather together and worship, to get to lift up your name, the name that is still powerful today as it was as we read in the scriptures. And God, I pray that everybody in this room would think about that question, like, who do I say that he is? There is no more important question for any of us to ask and authentically and truly answer. So God, allow us to open our hearts to you today. Maybe you would allow somebody's guard to go down just a little bit that maybe is saying, I don't know about him. I just don't know. But maybe somebody could just ask, well, what if though? What if Jesus is the Christ? It changes everything. And God, I pray for those of us that have put our hope in Jesus, God, that we could allow the hope of Jesus to flow into us and fill us in such a way that it overflows into the lives of those around us, God. May we go, may we represent you well in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.